It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast. Yes, we do it 7 days a week, every morning, and available from 6 a.m. We call it the Real Estate Breakfast for a reason. And you'll hear us, of course, on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Well, today, the 26th today, a Tuesday, and just having a look at this piece of news that broke late on Friday afternoon, and that is around 5% of mortgage borrowers are estimated by the Reserve Bank to spend more on repayments and living expenses than they earn. Now, think about that. That means all of your money that you are working for in a week is already gone, and you have to dip into your reserves to pay the rest of it. So that figure, they say, could climb to over 6% by the middle of this year. However, with falling inflation and anticipated rate adjustments, this proportion is expected to decline below late 2023 this year. And everybody will be keeping their fingers crossed for that. And today we are in Sydney catching up with David Wood, the principal from Albert Park Bell Property. And good morning to you, David. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast. How are your ears still ringing from the Formula Ones?
Yes, it's been a busy weekend here in Melbourne, Craig. So it's we've had the Grand Prix in Albert Park. So it's been fabulous.
You know, the Grand Prix, we've talked about this before. You've got the series on Netflix. It's just sort of elevated the sport. Everybody's into it now, particularly a lot of women that follow it who never did because of the personalities that are showing off on that TV series.
I read that statistic and it's amazing, but I can tell you that the Grand Prix was sold out for all 4 days.
And who's your favourite team principal, dare I ask?
Well, I don't follow it that closely, but it's like a lot of things in Melbourne. You become an expert for 1 week. You become an expert in tennis when the Australian Open's on, and an expert in Grand Prix, and then the show rolls on and we get back to normal life of selling real estate in Albert Park.
Well, I suppose we should talk about property because the hierarchy might be listening to their principal from Albert Park and he's not talking about real estate.
Absolutely.
Now, tell us a little bit about the volume of sales in your area for 2024 because you're up on last year.
Yes, it is. The volumes have increased this year or so far for this period, but we've seen in the last month or so increased volumes, but the market has absorbed it very well because typically in Albert Park and the surrounding inner Bayside areas, as we move up towards the Grand Prix and then Easter being quite early this year, there were a number of weekends that weren't available. So vendors did choose to come on to the market early through February and March and take advantage. So February and March have been very strong in regards to volume, but the market has accepted it well and the sales volumes have been strong.
What's your take on Easter? Like, you know, with some principals, they talk about it'll be nice to get it over and done with and out of the way. How do you feel?
I think it is it's a reset in the marketplace and there's fresh properties that come on after Easter as we head up and to the next thing on the calendar, which is probably the school holidays in the middle of the year. So I think Melbourne has four very defined seasons, you know, four very defined quarters. So I think Easter's a little bit of a reset in the market and then it's foot down now after the school holidays.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. So you actually find that there are some vendors that just say, no, not going to do it between the start of the year and Easter. They like to go after Easter.
Very much so. And as much as we know that buyers aren't seasonal, buyers are going to be there, I think a lot of vendors feel that they would be disadvantaged if they had their auction on an Easter weekend where your potential buyer is out of Melbourne, especially in the larger family homes. There's those defined seasons that, and you can say the same about the dead of winter. Half of Albert Park's in Europe in the July holidays, and a lot of vendors choose not to be on the market in that period of time, and they'll wait for spring typically.
All right, so that is David there in Melbourne in Albert Park. We'll come back and we'll talk more property after this.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
Well, the upcoming federal election, that is poised to centre on the housing crisis as Labor, the Coalition and the Greens all vie for support from disillusioned voters shut out of the home ownership game. Is that you? Is it a major consideration on who to vote for with the elections coming up? And with the Australian dream dwindling and generational divides widening, political parties are definitely scrambling to offer all sorts of solutions. Labor, of course, bruised from past attempts, grapples with internal strife, while the Coalition belatedly pivots to address the issue. Yet, as migration strains, housing supply and construction lags, those two challenges are definitely persisting. And has there been a bigger time in recent times that policies around housing issues are at the forefront of home buyers' minds? Probably not.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
And it is a Real Estate Tuesday. As I mentioned, it is already the 26th day for March for 2024. And we are talking all things Albert Park in Melbourne with David Wood, the principal there from Bell Property. And David, I wanted to ask you about the scarcity of land and also the finite supply of Albert Park properties. Can you explain that a little bit to our audience, particularly those that don't know too much about Albert Park?
Sure, Craig. Albert Park's a very small suburb, only about 3 or 4 kilometres from the CBD, and it's bordered by the Port Phillip Bay and the Albert Park Lake, and then we have the adjoining sister suburb of Middle Park. So there's only about just over 2,000 homes actually for sale in Albert Park, and there's a scarcity of supply. A lot of people, once they're here, they choose not to leave. And if you went back sort of 20, 25 years ago, young families, when they came to Albert Park and lived in a terrace home, a single level, 2-bedroom, typically when the children grew up, they would sell that home and move further out along the bay or out to the eastern suburbs for a larger house with larger land. But the trend has been in recent times, because of the popularity of the area, the popularity of the Albert Park College, which is the school, the secondary school, and also a wonderful community feel. A lot of people don't want to move from the area. They don't want to have the commute that's involved if they move to a suburb further away. And we all know what commuting's like with cars today. They chose to increase the size of their home by putting an extension on the period home that they have and not moving out. So there typically hasn't been a great supply of houses for sale. So there is a scarcity demand.
Just talking about the demand, yesterday we were talking about the sought-after inner Sydney suburb like Paddington and Darlinghurst. Homebuyers are paying over $20,000 for just 1 square metre of land. Now, I see that in 10 Melbourne suburbs, home buyers are paying over $10,000, so significantly cheaper per square metre of land. So what factors do you think are contributing to these high prices, particularly in popular inner city areas like Albert Park, like Middle Park?
Yeah, I think that the improvements on the land and the The cost of renovating homes, as we all know, in the last 5 years has increased dramatically. So if someone is able to bring a house to the market that has been beautifully renovated, and the record that happened late last year in Albert Park was a home that actually sold for nearly $32,000 per square metre for a renovated terrace home on about 330 square metres, it shows that if you do if you have a good renovation and the rest of the boxes are ticked in by way of location, car parking, presentation of the home and street appeal, you're able to extract an extremely good price in the market.
And how does the mix of housing types, such as freestanding houses, semi-detached homes and apartments, impact on the price per square metre of land in these different suburbs around where you are?
Well, the area of Albert Park and Middle Park, especially Albert Park, doesn't have a lot of freestanding homes. The buyers are very accepting if you've got a party wall on each side. And I talk about a terrace home, which is typically a two-storey boom style, 1880s style, two-storey brick terrace home, say on St. Vincent Place, on St. Vincent Gardens, which is the premier location in Albert Park. There are rows of terrace houses, so people are accepting that. In fact, the one that held the record that I just spoke about adjoins houses either side of it.
And what about heritage controls and strong heritage appeal? Is that contributing, do you think, to the high price per square metre?
Absolutely. The local council have extremely strong heritage controls. And basically, if the home was built before around 1910, which nearly every one of them is, you are not allowed to alter the facade. So you can't physically change the streetscape of the property by way of a renovation. You can do it at the rear of the property. So buyers have confidence when they purchase into the area that they're not going to come home one day and see that the neighbour's trying to put a Georgian-style home next to them on their property. So that certainly drives popularity, and it drives buyers for the prestige and desirability to be able to buy into these suburbs.
Yeah, for sure. All right. And just finally, before I let you go, you mentioned renoing. You know, sometimes renoing is a little bit of a barometer on just how the market is sort of coming back, if you will. If you look at last year, with maybe not as much renoing going on, are you surprised that you're starting to see a little bit of it more now in 24?
I'm not surprised. I think people who decide that they want to be here are open to buying something that's renovated or unrenovated. Now, if they can't find the renovated version that they're looking for, they will invest into an unrenovated home and then invest heavily into the nature of that renovation. And it might be Craig, it's probably a three-year project from the time that you buy the home, receive the permits that you're going to be required, engage the architect and then the builder and then complete the home. It's a long stretch, but they are rewarded at the end of it with beautiful homes that have increased significantly in value.
Well, it certainly sounds like you're in a very desirable little spot there, David. Albert Park in Melbourne. So thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning, telling us a little bit about your area and some of your thoughts around F1 motorsport.
That's a pleasure, Craig.
Remember, we're not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
They are making these communities where, you know, there's a shared co-working space. They're supporting each other in creating content.
Yeah, they do that in Dubai. They're called digital nomads. And exactly to your point, the developers are actually catering for this cohort of people, like a business hub that people can work from. I mean, what a fantastic idea.
It is. And our government is starting to head that way as well with build to rent. And that's why when the federal budget was released, there was a specific incentive for build to rent so that it can foster more investment in that particular asset class and create more of them.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.